If you've read the Bible for any length of time, you know that Jesus' preferred way of teaching is through something called parables. Now, what is a parable, you might ask? Well, a parable is a story or a metaphor that someone tells that isn't factually true, isn't something that historically happened, but it tells an important truth. Think, for example, of the story of the boy who cried wolf, right? We listen to the story and we know that there was no actual boy and there was no actual wolf, but we find value in this story because it teaches us the importance of being honest. Well, Jesus is the same way. Jesus teaches through parables. Perhaps the most famous of all is the story of the prodigal son, a story about a father and two of his boys. Jesus rarely gives us a textbook explanation of what we are supposed to do and how we are supposed to do it, except for today. Jesus' instructions to us to dealing with a certain challenge or problem couldn't be more clear. And I believe that Jesus does this for two reasons. The first reason is this problem that we all deal with, this problem that we all face and encounter, is a complicated one. It's one that we struggle with how to handle the right way. The other reason that I believe that Jesus teaches us so clearly and succinctly today is because he wants to understand that we can get it right. That even though this particular challenge we face is difficult, we can have a process that no matter how great the challenge is, we can always know what to do and how to act. What is the challenge, you might ask, that we all face, that Jesus addresses today? The challenge is conflict. The conflict that we at times have with other people. You see, we know that God made us all unique. God made us all different, and he did this for a wonderful reason. He did this because he wanted us all to have specific gifts, to be able to serve the world in specific ways. As Mr. Rogers used to say, there's only one of you. No one else is like you. And knowing that makes us special. Knowing that helps us understand that we have a purpose in this world that is all our own. But these differences that we all have can often rub up against one another. That at times we can find ourselves, because we have different beliefs and values and attitudes, at odds with another person or another group of people. And our best efforts sometimes fail to address the problems that we have with other people. Well, our scripture reading today will not solve all our problems that we have with other people, but it will give us a way that we can always operate. It will give us a way that even in the midst of the greatest conflict that we might have with another person, we can always know that we have a way forward. You see, because conflict is something that all people deal with at one time or another. Children who are very small know the conflict of sharing toys, know the conflict of having an issue and not knowing whose turn it is to take next. I served in college as something called an RA, or a resident assistant. What my job was to be on a floor of freshmen, people who were just entering college, and help them solve whatever problems that they had. And very often, the problem that they had was with their roommate, the person that they were living with. At times, they came to me to help them solve their differences. But this doesn't stop as we are young adults or kids, but it continues throughout the rest of our life. And so if we listen to these words today, if we trust Jesus in what he has to say, we can always have a process that helps us at least move towards healing and reconciliation with those we have differences with. So let's dig into that today. In our gospel reading, when Jesus looks at addressing conflict, the first thing that he says is, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. Now, Jesus, in this scripture reading, is speaking specifically to conflict within the church, but it can be applied to any conflict that we have with anyone. Jesus says something that's really brilliant and important. Jesus says that if someone does something to offend you, if someone does something to hurt you in some way, the first step is go and talk to that person one-on-one. It's something that is important to do, but it's something that often we fail to do. When someone offends us, when someone hurts us in some way, more often than not, the first thing that we do is get angry. We get upset. And we may start to become passive-aggressive towards that person. Meaning we don't address the issue that we have outright, but we began to get quiet, or we began to act angry, or we ignore them, or we do things to show that we're angry without using our words. Some of us also might not just keep our feelings to ourselves, but we might go and gossip with another person. We might not talk to the person that we have an issue with right away, but we might go and talk to another person, a friend, a family member, or a coworker of some kind, and say to them, "Can you believe that they did that? What a terrible person they must be." But what Jesus says is important if we are serious about addressing an issue we have with someone. Jesus says, go and talk to that person one-on-one. Don't simply keep the feelings to yourself, and don't do it in front of a group of people. You see, when we address a conflict with someone and there are other people around, friends, family members, coworkers, what happens is our egos are heightened. You see, none of us want to look bad in front of other people, and so there's a tendency for a person in a group context to be more defensive if other people are around. There's a tendency for them maybe to not think about things from your perspective, not have empathy or compassion because they're concerned about defending their reputation in a public space. So Jesus makes it quite clear today. If you have a conflict or an issue with another person, go and talk to that person one-on-one. Take some time to go out for a cup of coffee or address that person in a private setting. And be empathetic not only to how you feel, but also how they feel as well. And you'll be amazed at what you can resolve and solve in this first step. But sometimes our best efforts, we are not able to fix or solve conflicts one-on-one. And so Jesus continues to lay on us some important wisdom. Step 2 says, but if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Jesus says that if you cannot solve a conflict one-on-one, that it's time to involve other people. Other people might be trusted friends and family that you both share. Other people might be a therapist or a counselor of some kind. Other people also might be a pastor, that you sit down with someone who can be objective, can listen to all the facts, and help you walk through the conflict that you have with another person. It's not a gossiping thing, but it's a idea that we're better together than one-on-one. And finally, Jesus gives us perhaps the most important advice of all in the whole scripture reading. Jesus says that if the member refuses to listen to them, meaning the group of people around you, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let that one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Now that last part there might be a little confusing, that if the person, despite your best efforts, refuses to listen to you, that despite your best efforts, you are unable to resolve the conflict. What Jesus says is let that person be a Gentile or a tax collector to you. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the time where Jesus first spoke these words, he was speaking them to the Jewish community. And Jews, even to this day, use the word Gentile for those people who are not Jewish, for those people who are outside of their community, their church, their sphere of influence to them. Now, you specifically might not use the word Gentile, but the sentiment is all the same. Jesus says that if there is a person that we are unable to resolve a conflict with, it's okay for us to put some distance between us and them. And sometimes it might even be necessary. And this is something that we as Christians often struggle with, because we read in the Bible constantly about forgiveness. We hear that Jesus forgave us of our sins, and so we are called to forgive others as well. But it's important to remember that there is a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. It's been said, and I think it's true, that reconciliation takes two people, but forgiveness takes one. You see, God wants us to reconcile ourselves to people, to restore relationships with people whenever it is possible. But it takes two people to do that. It takes two people willing to be empathetic, willing to hear each other out and reconnect despite their differences. But forgiveness is something that we can all do, even if we're dealing with the most difficult person. Because forgiveness is releasing a person from the hold they have over your life. Think about it for a second. If a person owes you $20 and you forgive that person may not repay your debt. That person may not still be in your life anymore. But what you are doing emotionally and spiritually is releasing the anger, the bitterness that you have over that person for not returning your money. You see, what we are called to do is to try to resolve the conflicts, but if we cannot resolve the conflict, we are called to put that person at some distance from us so they can no longer hurt us. Now, does this mean that we get rid of anyone and everyone who we have a difference or a conflict with? Of course not. Some offenses are more serious than others. Some offenses we can let roll off our back. We can forget and forgive and move on without a formal situation, if you will. But other times, there are people who have wronged us, who have hurt us, either so severely or so often that we need to release that person from our life. As Jesus said, we need to let that person be a Gentile to us and put them outside of our sphere of influence. You see, dealing with conflict is not easy, but it's necessary, and it's important. And if we follow the steps that Jesus teaches us, we will find that there are situations in our life where we can grow closer to people through conflict. If you think about any person that is close to you in your life, family member, a best friend, anyone, I bet that you've had some conflict with them at some point. I bet that you've had disagreements and arguments with them. But just because you had one disagreement or one argument with them, it didn't end the relationship, did it? No. You were able to get through that. You were able to work through that. And because you did that, there's greater trust. There's greater trust that even though you might wrong each other every once in a while, you can get through that because the love that you have for each other is greater. By following these steps, we turn more and more conflicts into stronger relationships. But we also remember that reconciliation takes two people, and that we can walk away from situations and at times relationships with the knowledge and the confidence that we've done all we can, that we have been faithful not only to ourselves and to the other person, but most importantly to God. My prayer for you today is that the next time you are in a conflict, you remember these words of Jesus. You remember to talk to people one-on-one, to not gossip or to not be passive-aggressive. You remember to involve other people if you cannot resolve the conflict on your own. And finally, you remember that it's okay to forgive people. Forgive people who don't deserve it, but forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you give us Jesus Christ as the ultimate model of forgiveness and reconciliation. Help us remember these words and these actions that Jesus calls us to today. Help us be faithful in all times and all situations, but especially in times of conflict, bringing peace and healing wherever we go. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.